We open our Bibles this morning to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She ariseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Our text is found in this chapter in verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Let's review, people of God, where we are in our Virtuous Woman series, since it's been a couple of weeks. In our initial sermon in our series, we identified the virtuous woman as the woman that fears Jehovah. She is a God-fearing or a godly woman. We also considered her adornment as it is outlined for us in Scripture. That is an adornment which is a meek and a quiet spirit. We spent some time on a very important subject, the single or unmarried woman in the church. And we found that she too is indeed a virtuous woman, and her place in the church and her work in the church is invaluable to the other members. But then we turned our attention in our last sermon to the truth that God most often sets the solitary in families, or in other words, God oftentimes in the life of a woman leads her to a particular husband in the direction, therefore, of marriage. And both for the benefit of the young woman in the church as well as the young man, we considered what was necessary in order to find that kind of a virtuous woman. Rather than jumping immediately into marriage, as so many people oftentimes do, we considered how one is to enter into that marriage. That is, a godly man must go out and find to himself a godly woman. We discovered that we may not look for a godly wife in the midst of the unbelieving world, but we must search in the church, and that for a believing wife, a virtuous woman. And that is where we are in our series of sermons. This morning we turn our attention to the virtuous woman in marriage. We're not going to be considering her place yet as a mother in the home, but we're going to be considering her place in marriage itself. We will consider what it is, what makes a good wife. Again, that's for the benefit of both the women as well as the men of the church. Not only are we as wives to learn from this important passage of God's word here, but we as men too must learn to love and also appreciate our wives for what they are and what they do, in particular for us. Again, we turn to the wisdom of Solomon in this final chapter of Proverbs. We already considered verse 30 of this chapter, and when we considered that initially in our series of sermons, then we also noted that the most of this chapter is devoted to the virtuous woman, a description of who she is. And indeed, we will need to take into account the context of our text this morning, too, as we consider it. We will take notice exactly how a virtuous woman does her husband good and not evil. We will learn why a husband's heart safely, therefore, trusts in her. And we will learn why he is in need of nothing else when God gives him a godly wife. When we consider the word of God in the verses we consider this morning, godly wives, then you will be able to be encouraged by that word, but you're also going to see your weaknesses. And though our husbands will also see them this morning together with us, nevertheless, they will be reminded of their own sins as regards marriage as well. Consider with me this passage before us this morning under the theme, She Does Her Husband Good. She does her husband good. In the first place, we're going to consider the wife's good. Secondly, the husband's trust. And then finally, the lifelong relationship. We're going to start this morning with the second verse of the two verses that we're considering, verse 12. We do so because verse 12 explains to us what a virtuous woman does in order to gain the trust of her husband. Verse 11 explains, therefore, that the result of her doing her husband good is, in fact, his trust toward her. So the question that immediately confronts us this morning in considering this passage of God's word is, what is meant here by the good that a wife does her husband? The term good here in the Hebrew expresses really two interrelated ideas. The first is to confer benefits upon another. That's what that word in the Hebrew means, to confer benefits upon another. A godly wife's actions or deeds are meant to or are aimed at the benefit of her husband. To use the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14, she cares how she may please her husband. And she sets that as her goal in marriage. Or, as we sing that together in connection with Psalm 128, in your wife you will have gladness, she shall fill your home with good, happy in her loving service. Happy in her loving service. Her goal as a wife is to give of herself to her husband and his good, whatever may benefit him as her husband is her priority in marriage. Now, once again, we aren't going to leave the husband out of this. He is called as the head of the home to give of himself to his wife too, and in that way love his wife. But the focus, obviously, in this passage as well as in our series is on the virtuous wife. A good marriage, people of God, always focuses on two saints giving of themselves unselfishly to please their spouse. And yet that is not a mechanical thing either. I mean, the wife is not a robot that is somehow mechanically programmed automatically to perform certain actions that are going to please her husband. She has tasks to perform in her home and family. And those tasks vary from one family to another family. And they may vary for her from one day to another day, or from one year to another year. There's all kinds of tasks that she is going to perform, and she is fully aware that she performs those tasks, at least in her marriage now, for the benefit of her husband. She was created, and that virtuous woman, once again, by means of her own salvation, is aware of that, deeply aware of that, especially when she reads Genesis 2. She was created to be a help for her husband. And for that reason, she sets herself to do that which will make her husband shine. She wants to make her husband shine. Certainly the saying, behind every good man is a good woman, is true. Husbands ought to well consider that. One of the main reasons that God gives a man a godly wife, a God-fearing wife, is in order to make him a better man. Without his wife, he's not that better man. We learn in Proverbs 31, verse 23, that a virtuous woman, or her husband, the virtuous woman's husband, is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the people there. Why is he known? Well, the verse prior to verse 23 tells us, because she clothes him with silk and purple. She wants to make him shine. Now, that may seem like a very trivial thing, that she makes him shine by clothing him with silk and purple, although given a few of us men's taste, maybe it's a good thing that our wife is left with such a trivial matter in our case as well. But as trivial as that may seem, the point is this: a godly wife is out to make her husband look good. She wants him to have a good name among others. In reality, verses 13 through 17 is an explanation of how she does this for her husband, as well as her family, of course. How she's busy in doing these things. We're going to take note, just a few of those verses, in Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 15. She seeks wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Not afraid of work. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Notice her selflessness here. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Or once again in verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And then a little later on in that same chapter, verses 25 through 27, strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue, or in her tongue, is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's busy. And she is busy not to call any kind of attention unto herself, but because she is establishing a home that is comfortable for her husband and her children. We'll get to that, of course, in another sermon. Those are her concerns. She's concerned with that in her life. She busies herself with these matters in order that she might be of benefit. There's that word good. That she might be of benefit now to her husband. She is not lazy. She performs tasks in the home that her husband probably would simply let slide by. He would neglect them. Or she'll perform those tasks that he simply doesn't have time to perform in his life. A virtuous wife fills her husband. She completes her husband. She does those many things that perhaps even go unnoticed most of the time by her own husband. She's just busy doing those things for his benefit. He doesn't even notice it. She's so busy with those things. She keeps him a clean home, to which he loves to come home at the close of a busy day at work. She sees to it that he is clothed with clean clothes. And, of course, the list can go on and on and on. But there is a second aspect now. We said that there were two interrelated ideas expressed in that term, good. Well, there is a second aspect or idea to that term good now in our text as well. It carries with it the idea of cheerfulness and happiness. The wife in her labors for her husband does so because it makes her happy to make him happy. She shall fill the home with good, happy in her loving service. For the life of me, I cannot figure out how my wife repeatedly, every day, performs these labors for me. She does them over and over and over again as routine and humdrum to me that they would be. She does them. And while she is doing them, she is singing or she is humming to herself. Why? Because she's happy in doing those things. She's content because she knows that they need to be done after all. And because she is a help to her husband, she's glad to do them. And then when I sit down and I begin to think about all the things I just simply take for granted as a husband that she does. Cleaning and washing and dishes and finances and keeping dates and schedules for herself and for me. taking care of children, or in my case, taking care of grandchildren, going places with me just simply to keep me company. It boggles my mind. All of the tasks, all of the labors that a virtuous wife has to do for her husband. And she does them happily. Makes us realize, doesn't it, that marriage is so much more than how the wicked world likes to view marriage. It's so much more than merely the sensual or the sexual relationship that an unbeliever enters into marriage thinking that's what marriage is all about. It goes far, far beyond that. And although the wife may have her rough times, she may have her down times, she may have her crabby times, nevertheless, for the most part, she does these things and then puts up with her own husband's grumpiness and frustrations besides. She does these things cheerfully. Wow. A virtuous woman does her husband good. She does him good. Husbands, do not be oblivious to what your wife does for you. You and I would not be the men that we are today if it were not for our godly wives. And then acknowledge her in those things. Do not let it go unsaid. Praise her. Be tender towards her and strive your best not to lay more burdens upon her than she can unnecessarily handle. Cheerfully, the virtuous wife does her husband good and not evil. Yes, Solomon adds that too, doesn't he? The Bible gives us examples of wives that have failed their husbands. Not entirely, but have failed in certain regards. Eve was tempted. She was the first in the deception, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2. She was tempted of the devil, and then in turn tempted her own husband. Job's wife told him to curse God and die. Michael, David's wife, despised him when he worshipped God carrying the ark to Jerusalem. Rachel loved her husband Jacob and yet brought idol worship into his family. Rebecca deceived her blind husband Isaac together with Jacob. But then we do not have to point our fingers at the misdeeds of these women. Correct? Women of the church? We know our own weaknesses and we know our own sins in this regard, and we are not perfect in our words or in our actions either. Wife does her husband evil when she is lazy and does not go about her tasks of keeping her home and assisting her husband. She does evil when her husband comes home at the end of the day only to hear her complaining to him and nagging him with her constant complaints. God's word wisely states, doesn't it, in Proverbs 25, verse 24, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. He doesn't need that when he comes home from a hard day of work. The wife complaining to him constantly of him and of other things. When a wife gives her husband bad spiritual advice, or when she assists him at times in his sin, or is constantly criticizing her husband for who he is, she does him evil and not good. There's nothing more discouraging to a husband when he sees no cheerfulness on the part of his wife, no joy in her life of service toward him, but she's constantly complaining about her day to him. Now, once again, husbands, there are times when we bring that on ourselves too. When we are not giving of ourselves to our wives and their happiness. We do that sometimes too. Sometimes our own sinful behavior brings sadness on our wives. But even then, a wife, just as her husband, must always be examining herself that she might not be the cause of unhappiness in her home. There must be a mutual relationship of love and giving on the part of a husband and a wife. And a virtuous wife will do her husband good all the days of her life and not evil. Why will she do him good? Well, first of all, because she fears God. Let's not forget the spiritual motivation behind a virtuous woman. We can say these are all of her duties, but then neglect saying why she does them. She does them because she fears God. She's a godly woman. After all, she realizes in her own life that she is the object of salvation, that her sins are forgiven her in the blood of Christ. She experiences in her own life, as a woman, the joy of her salvation, that God in His grace was mindful of her, the sinner that she was, and that He has led her out of that life of unbelief and darkness. That in itself, you understand, makes a wife cheerful and happy in her service to her husband. She considers her own unworthiness before God, and what God in His great love now, despite her unworthiness, has done for her in sending His only Son into this world to die for her. She knows that. She realizes that. She's been sanctified in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him, she is a new creature. Her thoughts and her desires are now toward God. And that work of Christ in her is a powerful, powerful work. Delivering her from the clutches of sin, overcoming unbelief in her heart, and removing that darkness and that blindness of sin from her eyes. And through the cross, the dominion of Satan has been destroyed in her life. And the Spirit of our risen Lord now dwells in the heart of that God-fearing woman, that virtuous wife. And it's for that reason she serves her husband with happiness, because by doing so, she knows she's serving that God who has saved her. That God that has put that new life into her. That God who has recreated her and made her into a new person. Not one of those unbelieving women out there that would indeed curse God in their lives, but a woman that believes and asks God's blessing on her in her particular place as a wife in the home. So she gives of herself to the husband, understanding all the while that what Christ has done for her. And out of that love that she has for God, a love that He has shed abroad now in her heart, she loves her husband And that's the second reason that she is willing to do him good all her days. She loves her husband. And love is of such a nature that we forget about ourselves. And we seek to please another, to benefit another. That's love. Let's get it out of our minds, people of God. What the world wants to emphasize is love today. Purely sensual, purely physical. That's not love. A husband and a wife do themselves well if they take their Bible and leave it on the table, the kitchen table, open to 1 Corinthians 13, where love is defined for us in a very concrete way. Wives, love suffers long with the weaknesses and the faults of a husband. Love is kind toward them. How kind are we toward our husbands? Love is not puffed up with pride. It is not selfish. Or as Paul would say, state it, it does not seek her own. It does not behave itself unseemly toward others. Love in marriage is not easily provoked. It bears all things and it endures all things. That's love. It bears these burdens in life, endures them. Love does not think evil of our spouse. Love is not easily provoked. That is the love that is rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet is that love that reshapes, entirely reshapes our view of marriage and our relationship toward our husband in marriage. It rearranges our values and our priorities in life. And as wives, we enter into marriage in order to serve our husbands and not to be served. Our husbands should serve us. But that's not why we enter into marriage. We enter into marriage in order to serve our husbands. We enter into marriage and live in marriage not begrudgingly or pulling our nose up at every little task that we have to do in the course of a day. We cheerfully take up our place in marriage and do our husbands good all the days of our lives. We love God, and therefore we love them. Here's the result. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now that's not an exhortation to husbands. God's word here does not say, husbands, you better let your heart safely trust in your wife. She will do you good, but you in turn must trust her. That's not what we have here in this verse. It's not a command. It's a statement. What we have is what will naturally result in a marriage when a wife does her husband good. When she does him good, his heart will automatically, naturally trust in her. Unless, of course, the man himself is evil. That's a wonderful thing in marriage, you know. We trust God because we know His will is always good for us, don't we? God will always do us good. We trust in Him, no matter what may befall us in life, even sometimes when those things that befall us don't seem all that good, we know that God will always do us good, and we simply trust in Him. We place our childlike confidence in our God. We throw our all upon Him in our relationship with Him. Well, that husband who loves his wife as much as he loves God will trust his wife. No. He will safely trust his wife in his heart. Not just go through the motions and act like he's trusting his wife, but right within him, he trusts her safely. Almost a redundancy there in those terms, because trust and safely necessarily imply one another. But for emphasis, the Word of God gives that to you and to me here. When we trust someone, we feel safe in their care. We do not have suspicions that they might be doing us wrong or evil when we are not around. Trust is when we rely, completely on another without fear or misgivings about them. We're just simply content in the knowledge that we're safe in their care. There's nothing better in a marriage relationship when that's true of a husband toward his wife. No jealousies, no reserves, a faithful wife and a confiding husband are a mutual blessing to each other, and that makes for a happy marriage. All practical advice, you know, that the Word of God gives us here. How do we establish a happy home? It's where it all begins. It means that a husband goes off to work at the beginning of the day, and when he returns without any fear, without any misgivings toward his wife, because he knows that when he returns home, his wife will have done him good through the course of that day. He doesn't worry about it, doesn't fret over the affairs of his home or of his family. He safely trusts her. His comforts are considered by her. He knows that. His mind is relieved of all of the cares, doesn't even think about them. He just leaves them on his wife and doesn't even worry about them. He leaves the home knowing that everything he is interested in himself personally will be kept safely by his wife because she's interested in the same thing. He'll come home and he'll see the smile on his wife's face. And he'll get a hug and a kiss from her. Welcome home. With that kind of a wife, and she's a ruby, he has no misgivings at all. Or as one commentator said it, his home is the home of his heart. Think of that, people of God, because Satan is working very, very hard in our world and in our society today. And he does so in order to destroy homes and families because that's the very foundation of our society. And he is succeeding so well in our country. And he works hard to raise suspicion in the home and family and unhappiness and restlessness there. He does that in the wicked world in order to destroy the wicked world. But you know where he's working the hardest? He's working the hardest in the church because he wants to destroy the home and the family in the church. Destroy the home and the family in the church. And you've destroyed the line of God's covenant as he gathers his people in generations of believers. You destroy it. It's done. There are so many unhappy homes, even within the realm of the church, simply because the wife does not seek to do her husband good all the days of her life. I know the blame can be on the husbands too. There's too much selfishness that goes on. And it's the spirit of the world in which we live that pressures and is always pushing its way into the sphere of the church. Living to keep self happy. I want to be happy. Not living to make someone else happy. If only we by God's grace may be able to see the beauty of a home that is described for us here in Proverbs 31. We would guard ourselves from all kinds of untold misery in our homes and families. Why make our home a miserable place to live? Easy fix. Word of God gives it to us. But it's a fix that we can only put into place by God's grace. A home where a wife does her husband good provides all the riches needed for a God-fearing husband. End of verse 11. So that he shall have no need of spoil. The husband shall have no need of spoil. Or better, he shall have no lack of spoil in his home. The word spoils refers to the treasure that is carried on a merchant ship. Pirates knew what spoils that merchant ship would carry. They would have chests of gold on them from all of the merchandise that they sold while on their journey. And the pirates would attempt to raid those merchant ships and gain the spoils, those riches, those treasures to themselves. Well, a husband who safely trusts in his wife fully understands that he does not need to seek any kind of treasure elsewhere than what he can find in his own home. He does not have to go raid somebody else's ship in order to find his treasure and his pleasure. He is the merchant ship, and the treasure and the pleasure already belongs to him, and it's found right there in his home, right there in the loving arms of his own wife. Now that's the best description, in my estimation anyway, that could ever be given to a home and a family where a godly wife is found. The unbeliever thinks the only way to find some kind of happiness is to go out outside of the home and spend his time out there in all of the various places of this world, the bars, the dance halls, what have you, all out there. That's where I'm going to find my joy and my happiness. And the sad part of it is, unbelieving wives oftentimes join them in those places. It's no wonder that our society is so filled with divorce. You want to find a treasure? You'll find it right there in your own home. By the grace of God, our thought patterns, you see, are changed from that of the unbelieving world. It's true that they try to force their lifestyle on you and me and make it look so appealing. You want to find safety and happiness and treasures in life? Go home. The believing husband does not have to go anywhere else than his own home because his wife is his treasure. I had a man tell me one time several years ago. You know, I go out and I lay brick all day long. And at the end of the day, then the guys want me to go with them for a couple of hours to the bar or the gym or what have you and hang out. Have a good time with them before I go home to my wife and my children. And I tell them every time, no, I'm not interested in going with you to those places. I look forward to the time that I quit work so that I can go home to be with my wife and my children, because that's where I want to be. My wife does me good. Why would I want to go somewhere else? There's where my spoils are. There's where my treasure is at, right there in my home. Now that's a rare scene today. A man lacking no spoils in his homes. How busy even we sometimes can be, huh? Outside of the home rather than inside of the home. As if staying home doesn't give the satisfaction anymore that it ought to. But be that as it may now, the wife is the one who is a husband's treasure, and he finds his pleasure in his wife. One thing yet this passage teaches you and me. The virtuous wife will do him good all the days of her life. All the days of her life. Now that is an indication of the permanency of the marriage bond, not only, but that is an indication of a happy home and a marriage. All the days of her life she does her husband good and not evil. All the days of his life he safely trusts in his wife. There's the picture of a home, you understand, that's blessed by God and blessed by his Spirit. That is a home where Christ dwells. A home that is deeply conscious of God's presence there with a husband and a wife and their children. In other words, the life of love that is exhibited there is selfless, overwhelming love. A love that never grows dim. A godly husband and wife as they grow old together. And they begin to lose the vim and the vigor of youth. It fades away. Nevertheless, grow more and more inseparably attached to one another. You can hardly think or desire apart from one another. So much has God bound them together through a lifetime of love toward one another. The wife has committed her whole life to doing her husband good. All the days of her life. And the husband, with thankfulness, praising her, trusting her, looking to her. That's the home we make, wives. And that relationship established there will therefore be a long and a happy one too. Peace in the home for a lifetime. May God bless our homes with wives that will do their husbands good all the days of their lives. And may husbands recognize them and praise their wives for the labor of love that they perform on his behalf. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful unto thee that thou dost give unto thy church virtuous women. Women that are virtuous in single life, in unmarried life, as they are called upon to serve thee in thy church, and married women as well who look to the ways of their household. We pray that we as a church may never take for granted the place of women in our midst. May we as men rise up and call them blessed, because they are a blessing to us and to the life that goes on within the church itself. As women, we know our sins. We pray, forgive our sins. As husbands, too, we see our failures and sins. Forgive us of our sins as well. We are thankful that we can plead on the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness that he has earned for us on the cross. Go with us, Father, and continue to love us. For Jesus' sake, amen.